So one of the highlights of Parshas Naso that I'd like to focus on today is Birchas Kohanim. The bracha that the Kohanim have to recite here in Eretz Yisrael, it's on a daily basis. For some reason in Chutz Laaretz, it's only during the Moadim, and we'll talk about that later. But I want to point out to you that if you read the Parsha in Naso, and if you happen to have a Chumash in front of you, we're in Bamidbar Perek Vav, and we're in Pasuk of Dalet, and there the Torah says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lema daber al Aaron v'al bonav lema kosev varchus b'nei Yisrael amar lehem yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha." Yo'er Hashem ponav eilecha v'chuneko, Yisah Hashem ponav eilecha v'yaseim lecha shalom, v'samu eshmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. Now notice, of course, that there are three psukim that comprise Birchas Kohanim. The first one is Chaf Dalet, the second one is Chaf Hei, and the third is Chaf Vav. But you know that we are called the descendants of Divrei Sofrim. Sofrim means those who, Miloshin Lispar means to count. The Sofrim were so meticulous about the words of the Torah and the sanctity of the Torah that they actually count words and they count letters. Right, and if you count the words, which is called the Tevos, then it turns out that Birchas Kohanim is made up of 15 Tevos. So we have 3 Psukim and 15 Tevos. Then if you count letters, it turns out that there are 60 letters. So the key numbers here, the secret numbers, so to speak, are 3, 15, and 60. Now, the number 3 is a cinch. There are so many things in Yadus that refer to 3. And even the number 15 is relatively easy. We'll see about the 15 milos, and we'll see about the 15 steps that led to the Migdash and other things. But the number 60 is a little bit more tricky. So I want to call your attention to a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which you'll see here on your page. And that is, Hine mitaso shel Shlomo shishim giborim savivla migibore Yisrael. And Chazal say in the Medrash, Mi'em hashishim hagiborim, why the number 60? And the answer is, Heim hashishim osios shel birchas kohanim, that the shishim giborim correspond to the 60 letters that comprise birchas kohanim. And this I find a little bit strange. What is the significant connection here between the shishim giborim and the 60 letters of birchas kohanim in parshas Naso? So before we answer all these questions, what I'd like to do is study with you a paragraph in the Archaim HaKadosh. If you remember, the last 3 words of the Birchas Kohanim are Yaseim Lecha Shalom. And that seems to be, in a sense, the apex, the pinnacle of what we want to achieve here, and of the bracha of the Kohanim. We want to achieve Shalom, peace. Pirush, says the Archaim, first I'm going to define Shalom in a negative sense. I'm going to tell you what the antonym, what the opposite is. Hu ahepach shel pirud. Pirud means divisiveness, and Shalom is its opposite. And he says, if you really analyze the meaning of the word Shalom, hamaskil b'teva Shalom, yeda, you will become aware, ki hu ze yisod ha'olam. That what keeps the world together, so to speak, the glue that keeps it together, is Shalom. And why is that so? Hamachzik be'elyonim u'betachtonim. If I understand the Archaim correctly, and again, I'm open to other interpretations, the world, the universe was created in a twofold way. There are really 2 universes, not 1 universe. There was the creation of the Elyonim, there was the creation of the Tachtonim. There are the highest spiritual worlds of divinity, or of Malachi Ashores. Chazal tell us that those higher worlds were created with Yad Yamin, with the right hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there are the tachtonim, the lower worlds, the worlds of physicality, of materialism, of mortal man, and all the bria, which is here today and gone tomorrow, everything that withers away, everything is subject to the vicissitudes of time, and there's a law in physics that everything in nature deteriorates and eventually dies, even we're going to die. The scientists predict that the sun itself is going to eventually cease to exist, but don't get nervous about it, it's going to take 3 billion years. And that's the physical world, the limited world of the Tachtonim. And that was created with Yad Smol, with the left arm of God. And the universe requires both. The Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somehow a connection between these two worlds. And the question that's asked is, what is the hook, what is the glue that connects these two worlds and allows for the universe to exist? And the answer is Shalom. Chazal say that it is the kli shemachzik bracha. This is the utensil that holds the blessing of combining the upper worlds and connecting them with the lower worlds, kishein mafrid, as long as there's not something called pirud, which means a power that splits, that wedges between the two worlds. V'zehu sod, and that is the inner or deeper meaning of v'samu es shmi al b'nei Yisrael. What is the shame? What is the name of God? God has many names according to our Torah. And the answer is, this is the name Shalom. God is Shalom. And that name is the name that's singled out here in this bracha, Shegomar Osam. It completes this entire bracha, Vani Avarchem. In other words, God is saying that I, as a divine being, will have to play a role here in encouraging, in bestowing upon you this power through a blessing, the power of Shalom. And when you're endowed with the power of Shalom, when you can be Rodef Shalom, means you can pursue Shalom, you can undermine and destroy Pirud, and therefore keep the world going by connecting the higher worlds with the lower worlds. And the question I want to ask you today is, how do we go about doing this? What powers do we have? What did Hashem endow us with? What is the step-by-step process by which we can bring Shalom into the world and in the Archaim's frame of reference connect the Elyonim with the Tachtonim? Pirud is separation, is divisiveness. Correct? Like, for example, the Bali Kabbalah say that during the week, the what we call the Shesh Yisimei Mas, or the 6 days of the week, we live in a world of Pirud. We don't see the harmony that connects everything together. Shabbos is peace, it's Shalom, because Shabbos is the day in which all of the divisiveness, all the pirud is overcome, and there is a unity, a oneness. That's why we say Shabbat Shalom, or we light the candles, which is called Shalom Bayis. It means when you enter into a dark room, and if you can't see anything, every single object seems to be a kind of a barrier or a blockage. You know, it's a michshol, and you trip and you bang into things, but you open up the light, and all of a sudden you realize that there's a certain harmony. That's called Shalom Bayis. That's the Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. That's the power of Shabbos to create Shalom. And even though this is the world of Pirud, ultimately we will enter into the world of Shalom. That's the Olam Shekulo Tov. And that's what Shabbat Shalom is all about. Shabbos is a little bit of a taste or a revelation of that world, the ultimate world of Shalom. There's a sefer called Pachad Yitzchak, I wasn't able to photocopy it for you, in which he claims that God's creation was a twofold creation. It's bifurcated, it's split into two parts. There's the right and there's the left. There's the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. And to some extent, there's an imperfection in the world. God gave man the responsibility and the potential to improve the world, as strange as that sounds to our ears. And our rectification, our job, is to somehow connect these two worlds. And the Pachad Yitzchak claims that there is one point, one location on the face of the universe where both the Elyonim and the Tachtonim overlap. In other words, even though there's the right hand and the left hand, the Elyonim and the Tachtonim as two separate worlds, there is a point of overlap. They interface. And what is that point? The Beis HaMikdash, exactly. The Beis HaMikdash is that location which connects the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. And that's what Chazal mean when they say the Beit HaMikdash Shal Mata is Mechuvan Kenev Beit HaMikdash Shal Mala. There's a certain correspondence here. And that's why if you remember when Yaakov Avinu shows up in Beit El and he sleeps for the first time in 14 years and he has a dream of a ladder that goes from Beit El all the way to Beersheva. And Chazal say, Rashi points out, that the middle point of this ladder is the point of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Mefarshim explain, the Maharal Prague, that middle point is the Beit HaMikdash that's equidistant from the Olam HaElyon and the Olam HaTachton. Meaning, in a certain sense, there's a battle here which the Elyonim are claiming we are the greatest, they're pulling in their direction, the Tachtonim are pulling in their direction. The middle point, which combines the two, that's called the point of the Beit HaMikdash. Alright.
So are they disconnected now?
And now we live in a world of disconnect, and our goal, our responsibility is to create shalom. And that's our she'ifa, that's our aspiration. And that shalom is meant to connect the two worlds. What I want to study with you today is a beautiful presentation. I find this very profound, I hope you'll enjoy it, of the Kuznetzer. The Kuznetzer was one of the great Hasidic giants. In a work called the Avodas Yisrael, which is on a commentary on the Chumash, his insights into Parshas Noach. He wants to raise the following two questions. Question number one, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Shalom? Why is the word Shalom the name of God? And question number two, what does it mean when we say Oseh Shalom Bimroma? What does that mean that God is described as the one who creates harmony? And in order to answer these two questions, he presents to us a Kabbalah. A Kabbalah means an insight that he received in transmission. Meaning, he's telling you to perk up your ears because this is not something that you will probably have access to unless you receive this transmission from his Rebbein, which he wants to reveal now for the first time and give us a glimpse. You may see, because Michael, I know you're into abbreviations, on the third line you see it says Nun Ayin. It should be a Nun Ayin. Okay, it's a little bit tricky. And that means Nishmasam Eden, which means that their Nishamas are already in the Gan Eden. They are deceased. And here's the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah is Aleph Resh Mem Ayin. Okay, let's take a look at those four letters. The Aleph represents the Aretz. Okay? The Resh represents air, Ruach. The Mem represents water. And the Ayin represents Afar. So I made one mistake, I correct myself. The Aleph represents Esh. I'm sorry, I apologize. The Resh represents Ruach, the wind. The Mem represents Mayim, and the Ayin represents Afar, the ground, which makes up the earth. Afar is with an Ayin. There's Afar with an olive, which is ashes when you burn something. And Afar is the ground, the dirt that we walk upon.
The four basic elements.
Exactly. So you know this because you studied the Kuznetzer, or somebody who studied the Kuznetzer shared it with you. That the entire universe, the physical material universe, is made up of these four elements. These are the four elements that combined But the Kashrusa goes even further than that. Hold on to your chairs. He says that these four elements are mutually exclusive. They work against each other. And he gives a number of examples. He says, for example, the water extinguishes the fire. And he gives other examples. We'll see them inside in just a minute. He says that logically, because of the battle, so to speak, the confrontation between these elements, where the water will extinguish the fire, and against that power, there's the ruach, the wind, that actually fans the flames of the fire. There's echad li'umas chavero. They really confront each other in a very powerful confrontation. And logically, we really don't understand, we cannot grasp, how all these different elements can be integrated to form one entity, which is the universe. How does the universe continue to exist, combining, as it were, these four elements, when these elements battle against each other, confront each other? And the answer is Adon Kol. That God is the master of the universe. And what does it mean that God is the master of the universe? Okay, now, here, this is a really big secret that he's going to share with us. So we're all lucky to be here today to experience this secret.
I'm not sure how the wind, the rock, works against the fire. If anything, it helps it.
Yeah, the wind helps the fire, and it works against the water that's trying to extinguish the fire. Do you follow? So the wind here is a power to defend the fire and protect it and increase it, and it is confronting the water which is trying to extinguish it.
The wind can also extinguish it too.
Could be if it's too intense of a wind. But we say every day, Kulam b'chachma asisa. And those are the key words. You remember this from Birchas Kriyachma. What is the secret of the word Chachma? You have created all of the universe with Chachma, through wisdom. That's how we translate it. Well, what is the wisdom that allows the universe to coexist, all these different forces and elements? He says, Hutziruf Chachma. The word Chachma really is a combination of two smaller words. So there are four letters in Chachma. You break it down into two and two. The first two are, again, if you rearrange the letters, are Koach. Koach means a power, a force. And Ma. Ma means, what is it? Ma means it doesn't exist. So we're talking about a Koach, and yet it doesn't exist. And it's called Chachma. What does that mean? Ainu, Shekola Maisin, that everything that exists in this world, the Arba Yesodos and the four elements, Nivra Bahem, what God created in them, inherent in each one of these elements that make up the material universe, a Koach, a some sort of an ability. And we're really getting heavy into metaphysics here. He says, what is the nature of that Koach? Ha'estaklus. Every created being has a perspective. And what is this perspective? Lehabit kol davar kimahu. This is really an unbelievable paradox. I don't know if you're familiar with a German philosopher called Hegel. Have you ever heard of him? So he had what's called the dialectic. Dialectic means that you have a thesis and you have an antithesis. It's all based on a Greek philosophy called Heraclitus. So Heraclitus wondered, you know, when you go into a river and you stand in a river and the water keeps flowing and you stand in the same place. And basically Heraclitus came up with the thesis that everything that exists, because there are two powers and forces that contradict each other. And from that contradiction emerges reality. Reality is basically made up of thesis and antithesis. That's called a Hegelian dialectic. And here we're going to see it here. Every created being has a koach, which means it exists, it has some sort of power. And yet, that power itself is the appreciation of non-existence. It is the recognition that, so to speak, I do not exist. Which is ma. So it's a koach ma. Ma means the negation of existence. So you have the affirmation and the negation coexisting simultaneous. That is the inherent tension embedded in the very essence of everything that's created. The essence of everything is a tension between, on the one hand, affirmation, which is called koach, and on the other hand, negation, which is called ma. Kulam bechachma sisi. You've created everything with this contradictory antinomy of koach ma. Kimahu. Every existing being asks itself the question, mahu, what am I? And the answer is, v'hu efes. I am absolutely nothing. V'ofes lifnei mecholalo. In front of my creator, Mecholalo, who generated my existence, I am Ephes. I am a non-existent. So on the one hand, I boast that I exist. On the other hand, I am aware of the fact that when I stand, so to speak, I don't mean that literally, but stand metaphorically in the presence of my creator, I am nothing. I negate my own existence. And therefore, the only way that I can possibly exist and emerge from Efes into a Koach is Muchrach Lishmar Pkudas Yotzro. I can only do so if I can justify my existence because I have a purpose. And there's only one existing being that could define my purpose, and that's Almighty God, Yotzro, my Creator. My Creator defines the reason for my creation and the ultimate justification of my existence, Asher Heim Bekirbo. And the purpose or the mandate of my existence is inside of my essence. My essence is made up of a koach to fulfill the will of God, to achieve the goal for which I was created, to justify my own existence, and I can only allow or facilitate that part of me to achieve its goal because of the ma, because of the fact that I realize that I am nothing, that I don't exist, that the only existing being is Almighty God. He is existence par excellence. I don't exist. I'm Ephes in the presence of my Creator. But what I do have, and that's what continues me to exist, is the koach, the power of this perspective, that the only thing that can give me existence, that can generate my existence and maintain it, is my loyalty, my dedication to fulfill the will of my Creator. And in a sense, that means I'm making a statement that I have nothing for myself. I can't decide to go on holiday or pursue pleasures and enjoyments. No. All that is gone. It's null and void. Because basically what we have here, and here I want you to underline a certain word. Do you see the word yitbatel? Shagam shal yidei ze yitbatel mimitziuto. By dedicating myself exclusively to fulfill the will of God, I nullify, I negate my very existence because I no longer exist as a separate entity independent of Almighty God with my own will, my own aspirations and strivings and desires. No. All that is null and void. It's batel b'mitzius because my whole existence can only be justified and maintained by my ability and by my goal to fulfill His will with a capital H, Lishmar Pgudas Yotzro, and therefore I am nothing. How does this answer that question of Oseh Sholem Bimromov? How do all existing elements coexist when they confront each other and they exclude each other? He says, when the water sees itself as Ayin V'Efes, it defines itself as nothingness, Uvispashtus gashmus kosha bekirbo. And when the physical power inherent in water activates, well, for example, the fire, the chenkulam, and all of them, he gives afar and ruach, that's iron rage, al yidei zeh, by negating themselves, taking nothing for themselves other than exclusive dedication to fulfill the will of God, misyachdim, now they become integrated, uvishulavim, and unified, ish imre'eu, one with the other, bepkudas hayotzer. So because the divine being, the creator, has an overall scheme or a plan, which is going to be fulfilled by the various respective functionings of the elements, therefore they work together in tandem to fulfill the purpose and the scheme, the goal of God as creator. And this is what the pasuk means, describing the heavenly spheres, the malachim, as Merkava. What does Merkava mean? Michal miyamin. Michal is on the right side. Mehalel. Gavriel mismol. Memalel. What does that mean? He says that even though Michal and Gavriel are two malachim that confront each other and contradict each other, Michal is the malach of chesed, of mercy and compassion. Gavriel is Gvura, meaning he is the malach of justice and metes out punishment, and they battle against each other. They're mutually exclusive. The first one is Chesed, the Sheni is Gvura. Nevertheless, the Pasuk says, Shalom b'mechitzasa. There is peace amongst them. There is no hatred, there's no jealousy between them. How could that be? When basically they're adversaries, they're enemies, that each try to undercut the other. One wants to insist on chesed, and the other says, no, I want to insist on justice, without any compassion, but purely gvura and din. He says the answer is, just as we saw before, what is a malach? A malach is a messenger of God, who has nothing in his essence, other than to fulfill God's will. And when he looks at his power, he realizes that his power is nothing more than an extension of the power of his creator. And therefore, when he does chesed, or when he does gvura, he's not implementing a power that belongs to him. He doesn't possess it independently as his. He has ownership of it. No. It's nothing more than a reflection, an expression, or an implementation of God's divine will. The will of his creator, who wants him to do whatever he has to do. And that's what it means that Michael, the word Michael is a combination of two words, mi and then chaf aleph lamet. You break down this word as we did before when we were discussing the word chachma. We do it here with the word Michael. And what does it mean, mi ke'el? And the answer is that Michael says, who's doing this chesed? The answer is ke'el. It's only because of God. There is no other power on the universe that could implement this compassion. And Gavriel, the name Gavriel, means the Gvura of Kel. Again, you break it down into two words, which is a testimony to the fact that all Gvura, all power and might, all justice and punishment, all is the act of God. Without God, Ein Elokim, there's no other power or force on the face of the universe. And therefore, they, the malachim, and everything that they have, meaning all their powers, betalim, again, remember we underlined that word before, yizbatel, so again we have the word betalim, they have nothing for themselves, all the powers and energies of the malachim belong to Hashem, and they, the malachim, can claim nothing for themselves, because the Ratzon Hashem is inherent, it's built in Bekirbam. And therefore, Nostin Bi'ava Rishu Zeh L'Zeh, They turn one to the other and give rishus, meaning Gavriel turns to Michal and says, I give you permission, I grant you to do your chesed. And then Michal turns to Gavriel and says, I grant you permission to do your gvura. The answer is because they're working in tandem. They have nothing for themselves. They are not messengers for themselves to possess and to achieve their own personal selfish goals, but rather they are made up inherently of the will and desire exclusively to serve Hashem, to implement the will of God, and therefore Beinayim Sholem Vareus. They have perfect harmony between them. The Ein Machlokas Uktata, where do we find strife and divisiveness? Rak Benifradim Lamata, only in the lower spheres where there's disunity. You see, Joel, the word Nifradim there, which is the same word as Piru that you talked about before. Shekol Echem is Nase, because every human being builds himself up. Lomar, and he declares, Ani Estarer, I will be the political leader, you know, I will be the president. And why? Because I am a smart guy, or I have some other superior qualities. We're all, each and every one of us, vying to build ourselves up in a selfish kind of way, and achieve our own self-glorification. Hayotzer hu nosei lem koach lasos chayil. But where did we get the power to achieve and to activate and pursue our goals? It really comes from the Yotzer Kol. If we would only recognize that it comes from God, then we would all work in tandem in one great unity. Up in the higher spheres of the heavenly angels, where each one of the angels recognizes that it is Hashem that gives him the power, and his goal as an angel is to fulfill God's will. Therefore, is Oseh Shalom B'Meromav. God has created peace up in the heavens, in the Meromim. There's Ava and there's Shalom. The problem is, the challenge is down here in this world, in the world of Tachtonim, who pursue their own independent goals and self-glorification. That's where we have Pirud, we have separation and disunity. Lachena Kadosh Baruch Hu Shmo Shalom. What does it mean that the name of God is peace? Ki mipnei shmo, as a result of God's essential element of peace, yirevu mispachtem et shenasa shalom b'neyu. All of the universe stands in awe and fear of God, and that itself creates shalom. Because all of the universe declares, I have nothing for myself, I'm not going to pursue my independent goals, selfish goals. I'm nothing more than an extension of the will of God. My powers are not my own. It's Ma. Ma means I'm Ephes. I stand in front of God as nothing. I only have my existence in order to fulfill the will of the commander-in-chief. That's true befall, in actuality, up in the Meromim, in the higher spheres. There is a clear-cut recognition, without any ambiguity, that we exist not on our own, but rather as extensions of the commander-in-chief who has created us. But down here, that's where man is challenged, because he has this very selfish desire to build himself up, to pursue his own goals, to raise himself in the eyes of others. The Ratzon of Hashem plays a secondary role, if any role at all. And therefore, the only way we can hope and pray for peace is if we can... How can there ever be peace? The only thing is, we can pray that people will have Yiran Pacha, they have reverence for God. They will imitate the Malach Yashoris and recognize that all they have and all their powers come from Almighty God. It's an unbelievable presentation, Rabos, because I'll tell you what it means to me personally. You know, we just experienced Chag HaShavuos, and the clarion call of Chag HaShavuos, of Chag Kabbalas HaTorah, is Nasa V'Nishma. And Chazal say that when our forefathers stood at Har Sinai and declared Nasa V'Nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, Who revealed to my children this secret formula, which was until henceforth it was locked up and concealed in the heavens of the Malach Hasharis? And the answer is, what is so secretive about Nasa V'Nishma? Nasa V'Nishma means that my essence is Nasa. What I am created for, and what am I goal, and what justifies my existence, is the fact that I am dedicated exclusively to the fulfillment of the will of God. That's what a malach is all about. A malach, by definition, it's not nishma. You know, don't tell me something. Don't give me wisdom and knowledge. That's not it. It's nasa. The nishma is only to facilitate the nasa. I can't fulfill the will of God and His mandates unless I study that mandate and it's revealed to me. So the nishma becomes only a conduit, a secondary element, my primary element that comes first, my ultimate essence, and that which I strive for is nasa. That's what makes a malach. A malach is not interested in anything but nasa. All of his existence exhausts itself in a commitment to fulfill the divine will. There's nothing else. We at Har Sinai, by declaring Nasa V'Nishma, revealed the secret of Malachim, and we became essentially Malach Yasharis. We became Malachim because we said to Hashem, we want to accept your Torah. We want to learn the 613 ways of implementing your will. We have no other will. Our nishma is not some sort of intellectual endeavor for the sake of self-aggrandizement, for self-glorification. Our nishma is secondary to the nasa. The goal of nishma is God revealed to us in substance, something form, what is your will, and now we go out in this endeavor, that's our project, to fulfill your will. That's what we want. And that's our ultimate and only goal in life. We become like Malach Yasharis. If we take this and we place it back in to the Avodas Yisrael, the Oseh Shalom Bimromov means that because the entire universe, with the exception of the human element in that dimension, is totally dedicated to fulfill the will of God, even though that will is being fulfilled by different elements that are antithetical, there's a tension built into the very fabric of the universe. There's the Eish and there's the Mayim. There's the Michael and there's the Gavriel. There's Emes and there's Chesed. And how do we reconcile all these antinomies that are mutually exclusive? The answer is because of the concept of his Vatlus. Because every created being recognizes Chachmah, Koachma, that I don't exist on my own with any independent strivings and desires. My existence is just to fulfill the will of my Creator. Down here on earth, in the human sphere, we have a more challenging situation. Here, the human being sees himself not as a malach, not justifying his existence as a messenger here on earth to achieve a mission and fulfill the will of God, but rather seeing oneself as a being. I am a chashuva person, farzich alein, we say in Yiddish, meaning for myself. I have my own desires, my own goals, my own ambitions, and if they exclude yours, okay, we have a confrontation. We have competition. We're fighting for the same thing. And it's mutually exclusive. It's going to be sinner and kinner. Our goal is to take the Oseh Shalom Bimromov and bring it down to this earth so we can coexist. You can do your thing, I can do my thing. And sometimes it means we have to separate. Sometimes you have a plan and you have a project and it's not the same as mine. I respect what you're doing, but you know, you have your own turf and your own territory. If we work together and we divvy up the labor, we have a clear-cut division of labor, your shetach, your area of activity is there, my area of activity is here, we can work together. There's a town in New Jersey called Edison. I don't know if you've heard of it. There are 5 Orthodox shuls. It's absolutely inspiring to see how each of those shuls is unique and how they work together in unison. And it really stops with the Rabbanim, the leaders who guide their flock. This is a paradigm for unity. This is something that we have to strive for. Every Jew has his unique contribution. There are 600,000 Jews. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. The Shishim Ribui, connected the Sheshmeos Elef Ribui is connected the Sheshmeos Elef Osiel Shebet Torah. Every Jew has his unique contribution to the Torah. And here I want to share with you the insight of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, the Kedushas HaLevi, which is number 5 on your page. Does anyone know who belongs to this water? I don't want to be overexalous, so I'm just going to take a minute to get myself some water. I apologize. I thought I had enough, but I ran short. Oh, here it is.
Going to come back for 60 letters.
I hope so. Again, if we don't finish it, you'll have to come to my shiur on Shabbos at 8 o'clock, and we'll finish it then. And I want to discuss some of the halachas of Birchas Kodim as well, if we can, on Shabbos. The Kedushas Levi quotes a pasuk in Iyov, which is very relevant to our discussion, and that is Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. And offhand, the pasuk doesn't make any sense. Chachma means intellectual wisdom, and Yira means the fear of God. Why does the pasuk here in Tanakh combine and integrate the two? And he says the following: that the Creator may be blessed. He's the one who created everything that exists, and there are worlds that, if we look at their shoresh, if we look at their roots and their origins, Roim, we behold Shabiats Musam in their very essences, Elam Klum. These are worlds that don't claim anything for themselves. That's the concept of Yira, or the concept of Bittel. Kol Chiyusam, what gives them a force of life, what's called the Ilan Vital, if you're familiar with that phrase, is Me'es HaBore. It's only because God is generating existence into their very being. Right, like we say in davening, in the Birchas Kriyat Shema, we say, what's the phrase? Mechadesh bechol yom tamid maaseh breishis. That God is constantly breathing life into everything that exists. It's not that God once at some point created the universe and then removed his power of creation. He's constantly injecting that power of creation to maintaining the existence of all existing things. That's what it means when we say that that Hashem is constantly breathing existence into this universe, that the Asara Mamoros, Shebehem Nivra Ba'olam, the 10 enunciations of God, are still there, you know, and powerfully injecting existence into everything that exists. And it says in the pasuk, David Amel says, "Udvar Hashem liolam tamod." What does it mean that the words of God always eternally stand? What does it mean? Where are they standing? Where are the words of God? It means the Asara Mamoros continue to breathe and generate existence into the world. And that's for Chol Yom Tamid. And really, every existing thing has some sort of a divine power inherent in it that generates its existence. And although that power, that divine power, is concealed, it belongs to a concealed world, but we believe it exists. And we shouldn't be fooled by the world as we see it. Does anybody happen to have a sitter here? Oh, here's a sitter. If I could trouble you to the sitter. I just wanted to point out something to you in the name of the Arizal, if I can. Does it say over here? Here. It says, Atahu Hashem Levadecha. It's based on Psukim in Nehemiah. Atah Asisas Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim, Chol Tzvom Ha'oretz V'chol Asher Oleha, Hayamim V'chol Asher Bam. And then it says, this is the apex, it says, V'ata Mechayas Kulam. And you give life to all of these existing things. So the Arizal is famous for saying that the word V'ata is a reference to this divine spark, so to speak. It's, again, it's not a physical entity, but it is the will of God, mechayes kulam, that everything that exists, the kulam, is because of the viata. It's the viata. It's the will of God that is inherent in every existing being. And if we come back to the Kedushas HaLevi, I think that's what he says, that every existing being acknowledges that it has nothing for itself, but rather its existence comes from Hashem. And that's Yira, and that's Pachad, and that's Chil Ura'a DeYochezun. To be absolutely awestruck by the fact that I don't exist unless God gives me existence and sustains me. And Vihine, now I think the Kedushas Levi is saying something very similar. That's what struck me to the Kuznetsov that we saw before in his insights on Chumash Avodas Yisrael. He says that Habore Hu Baruch Hu Bara Bolomo Dvarim Mesnagdim Zelazeh. Do you see that? It's about line 5. He says that God created things that contradict each other, that confront each other. Eish Mayim Ruach V'Ofar. All based on the Zohar. V'chol zek shemestaklim al atzmusam, when they look at themselves and their very essences, then as separate entities, they are mutually exclusive. Avak shemestaklim al sharsham, but if we look at their root, the source or the origin of their existence, shehem mekablim chiyus mimakom echon, they all receive existence from the same source. In their source, in their origin, there is total unity. Therefore, even in this secondary stage, not in the Shoresh, but in their existing state of beings, there is Achdus, there's total unity, because they all realize that their source is one and the same. They all belong to the same team. They all play for the same commander-in-chief. They are all existing with an existence that's engendered by the same source, by the Borei Baruch Hu, and therefore they unify to form one entity. And that's what the Pasuk really means when it says, Kihein Lashon Achdus, the opening word in the Pasuk that we started with in Eov is Hein, Hein, which is the number 50, if I'm not, no, 45, right? Hain. 55. Hain is 55, right? Hain is Lashon Achdus. Why? Shepirish Rashi, Mesechta Shabbos, Shekain B'Lashon Yevani, the number 1 in Greek is Hain. I don't know enough Greek to analyze this. V'zeh Remes Hain Ha'achdus Ba Miyiras Hashem, when everything in existence realizes that its existence comes from one source, Hashem, and that one single source is called Hain. Shehain biyira. Then they get to the state of Yira, because they look at their roots, their origins, and Oz Hain biachdus gemura, there's absolute Hain. V'zeo gamken haremes v'posuk Ose Shalom b'mrom v'yase Shalom aleinu. Ose Shalom means, when is there peace? Bimaromov, that's the paradigm of peace, because up in the higher worlds of the Elyonim, hey Misrom, Mistaklim, Shoshim, they are on a higher level and they are connected and aware and acknowledge their shores, their root, and therefore their Ba'achdus Gomor. You see, what he doesn't say is, so what does it mean, hi chachma? But now we know the answer to hi chachma. Why is this concept of hein chachma? Because the chachma defines the nature of every existing being insofar as it realizes the koach ma. Ma meaning that its source is up in Shamayim, me'eis Hashem. So Rabbi says there's a lot more here that we don't have time to do. I'm going to take a break now, and Belineda will try to find the opportunity to finish this at some point, maybe Shabbos morning if anyone's around at 8 o'clock, yeah. And then we'll try to embellish it a little bit further.
You know where in Shir HaShir in this Pasuk is in the
Pasuk? I think it's in the third chapter, but I'd have to... In the old days, I used to daven Friday night in the Sephardic shul, so they used to read through Shir HaShirim. But it's been quite a bit of time, so I'm a little bit rusty on it. But I'll get back to you on that. Rav Osher, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming. For me, this is like rebooting, restarting my Parsha Shir. And it's been a while. I took a trip, I don't know if you know it, and trying to get back into it. It's lo pashut, so I appreciate your... help, you know, in joining me in this limud. It forces me to learn the parsha and to prepare for the shiur. So yashar koach to that. I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. It's Parshas Noso. Noso's miloshon to uplift. We can talk about the dgolim of the various shvatim, and each degel has a symbolic meaning. But the degel means the experience of rising to the challenge of all the goals that Hashem has set for us. And amidst Hashem, I wish you a wonderful Shabbos for Nasa. It should be a Shabbos of Shalom. As the Pasuk says, V'yasem l'cha Shalom v'samu Shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, that bracha is the bracha of all brachas, the bracha of Shalom. Shkech. Let me just look for that Pasuk for you. I think it's in Perek Beis. Oh, here it is, Perek Gimel. I was right. Shishim Giborim Saviv La. So it's Gimel Pasuk Zion. Let's just see if by chance he has any comment on it. "60 myriads of Israel's mighty encircling the resting place of God, to whom peace belongs." Ah, interesting. He adds something very interesting here. I'm impressed, because the Apostle doesn't mention Shalom, but he... Oh, it does there?
It's Pachad, not Shalom.
Oh, so I just want to point out that we were speaking about the integration of Pachad and Yir on the one hand and Shalom on the other hand. He points out in the footnote that the resting place of him with a capital H, to whom peace belongs. So he's injecting the concept of Shalom here into the Pasuk. He doesn't quote any source for that, but I think it should.
Shalom is more not peace, but completeness.
Like perfection. Shlemut, right? For sure. Because we're all integrated in achieving one single goal, and that's perfection, because perfection is the concept of utilizing all the potential that we have for one goal, as opposed to period, where each person works separately as an independent arm. Alright, let me excuse myself, because I want to be ready for Mincha, and I have a Sheva Brochus after this to go to.